This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
A Bloomberg report says antitrust officials have their hands full as they review several pending mergers and acquisitions in agribusinesses, with the newest being Bayer's acquisition of Monsanto. The $66 billion deal consolidates the biggest seed and chemical producers in the industry. Eli Katz, an antitrust attorney at a major New York City law firm, said antitrust reviewers around the world have to look at how all the deals would impact the world instead of considering them on a case-by-case basis. He says it's always about the future. You have to imagine what the world will look like after the mergers, and that complicates things. According to Jonas Oxgaard, a Sanford Bernstein analyst, seed and crop chemicals are major expenses for producers, and the combination of Bayer and Monsanto could have some political backlash. He says there's a political angle that will make the deal hard to get past regulators. With four other major consolidation deals in the works, economists are questioning whether there's too much consolidation in agriculture. Experts have been asking the same question in other sectors of the economy, and now the trend is happening in agriculture. In other news, harvest has begun for many farmers in the area, and a little disease is present in the grain that's being hauled to the elevators. I visited with Andrew Paluska, who's the grain manager for CHS at their Louder location. According to Andrew, overall, farmers are happy with the yields they're seeing, and the disease is mostly present in early planted corn.
There have been some quality concerns. There's been some cob rot diplodia in the new corn. I want to cross my fingers, but it seems like it is getting better as we move into as more and more guys get started and they get into their maybe a little later planted corn. The average damage has been coming down each day, so we're hopeful that trend continues.
And have you heard any talk about yields? What are the farmers saying when they're coming in? Do they like what they're seeing?
So far, I think they've been pretty happy with what they've seen. I'd say in this general area, if I had to put an average on it today from the few fields that we have out, I would put us around 225 bushels the acre. So it's not our best crop we've ever had, but it's right there as one of the top two or three that we've probably had in this area.
And you mentioned with the grain that's coming in, a little bit of disease. What about moisture? How have those levels been?
It seems like now a lot of guys are getting into moisture levels anywhere from 18 to 20% is probably our average run here the last couple of days. There's still wetter corn out there, but most guys are trying to avoid those fields and finding their drier fields. So I'd say average coming in today is probably around that 19% area.
I'm not sure how much storage you have there at the Louder location, but do you foresee storage being an issue this year if we keep having large yields and have a bigger crop, or what are your thoughts as far as storage goes?
Yes, I think it could be an issue. We've got a lot of space at Louder, and we've got a ground pile, so if it comes to it, we'll use the ground pile at the end. But for other elevators that may be short space, I think it could be an issue. We've seen basis levels back off at the river, and so that trickles into us interior elevators are starting to back off. And I encourage guys, if they haven't signed up for either DP or storage, either with us or their local elevator, that they probably figure out about what they need and make that call, because I think if the weather stays right and we get rolling along, I think it could become an issue here, you know, towards about latter half of harvest.
Andrew, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to mention or anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'd say just be careful out there. This is the time of year that we run long hours, and the farmers run long hours, and if we get a good stretch of weather without any rain, that people get fatigued and get careless, and be careful out there on the road. I know that there's a lot more traffic around than normal in most of our rural areas, so watch out for those slow-moving vehicles and the semis moving up and down the highways and roads.
And once again, that was Andrew Paluska, the grain manager for CHS. Farm Credit Illinois presented a $25,000 gift to the Illinois Fire Service Institute's Grain Bin Rescue Operation Training Program at a Farm Safety and Health Week kickoff event on Thursday. The gift will contribute to the new training program designed specifically for grain bin rescues. According to the Illinois Fire Service Institute, more than 50% of grain is stored on farms in grain bins averaging 60 feet wide, contributing to the increased number of grain bin-related accidents each year. The course will provide 40 hours of classroom and hands-on education to Illinois firefighters, teaching participants the ins and outs of grain bin and various rescue operation tactics. According to Farm Credit's industry engagement manager, Beth Bolger, when it comes to farmers' well-being, Farm Credit is concerned about more than just their finances.
Farm Credit's commitment and care for rural communities and agriculture really goes beyond providing financial services and extends to the safety of farmers and their workers, especially during the busy harvest season. Thanks to the Illinois Fire Safety Institute's Grain Bin Rescue Program, volunteer firefighters throughout the state will be equipped to safely manage a grain bin rescue. We're really proud at Farm Credit to support the program, and we're grateful for the ISFI staff's hard work in developing this training program, which will protect from tragedies on the farm and ultimately help farm families succeed for future generations.
Beth Bolger, Farm Credit Illinois' Industry Engagement Manager. In other news, the National Pork Producers Council held its annual fly-in this week in Washington, D.C., and the Trans-Pacific Partnership was at the top of their conversations with their senators and representatives. Over 130 producers from 20 states pressed their congressional lawmakers to push for a vote on the TPP this year. They also want funding for a foot and mouth vaccine bank included in the next farm bill. Farm families also asked their congressional representatives to oppose a U.S. Department of Agriculture regulation known as the GPSA rule that would restrict the buying and selling of livestock. The National Pork Producers Council President John Dyer of Iowa said those three issues are very important to pork producers, but getting the Trans-Pacific Partnership passed in the lame duck session of Congress is the primary issue they're working on. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.